After Professor Chomsky, Malala Joya spoke. She is on a current North American tour for her new book, A Woman Among Warlords.
Hello to everyone. Very nice to meet you all. I would like to thank friends and supporters of the UNAC, United National Anti-War Coalition, and Afghan Women Mission, who organized this event and gave me this opportunity to bring the message of suffering and oppressed people of Afghanistan to justice-loving people of the U.S. And I'm so honored that tonight I'm with dear Professor Noam Chomsky, as I believe who is one of the greatest personalities of the U.S., as he always raises his voice against injustice and warmongers, and a symbol of our struggle for freedom and democracy. Today I represent a nation who, after 12 years of the so-called war on terror, still suffers from fascism of fundamentalism and imperialism of the US and NATO occupation. Besides condemning this disgusting war, I want to share the consequences of these sinister years with you, which were only more bloodshed, crimes, women rights, human rights violations, looting of our resource, and changing of our country into a mafia state. During these bloody years, the occupation forces and terrorist groups have killed tens of thousands of innocent civilians. Widespread poverty, destitution, and injustice have made life torture for millions of Afghans. It is suffice to say that in the UN Human Development Index, Afghanistan is ranked at 125th position in the top list of most underdeveloped countries. It holds the first position in the corruption index, as around 20 million people out of estimated 27 million population of Afghanistan are living under the poverty line. Under the US and NATO occupation, Afghanistan was changed to the world capital of narcotics, which produces more than 90% of the world opium. I believe opium is even more dangerous than Al-Qaeda in terrorism, as destroys the life of these innocent Afghans. There is official report that around 2 million Afghans are addicted. Most of them are women and children. Opium brides, usually girls aged below 16, are married off in exchange of opium if a farmer fails to supply opium to a warlord. And it is also the most dangerous place to be a woman, according to the recent report of UNIFEM. Catastrophic situation of women was very good excuse for US and NATO to occupy our country. Although the Western media raised so much outcry about women's rights participation in the political life of Afghanistan, but they are lies. Over 80% of women face some sort of violences, but there is a complete of impunity for the perpetrators of such crimes. Even a woman MP named Nurzia Atmar, who had link with these warlords, she was forced to seek asylum from her abusing husband. Forced marriages, child brides, acid attacks, domestic violences, attack on schoolgirls, etc., are skyrocketing. Recently, 16-year-old Shakila was brutally raped by a member of the provincial council in Bamyan province. And three other parliamentarians, partners in this crime, in trying to forge the medical report of the rape girl. This is just the tip of the iceberg that I shared with you now, but such issues hardly reach the mainstream media because these misogynist criminals kill, kidnap, or threaten to date any journalist who reports such incidents. The U.S. and its allies killed Thousands of innocent people under the name of so-called war on terror or fighting against Taliban. But now U.S. officials and other Western governments, they officially, publicly, shamelessly, they confess that Taliban are not their enemies. And that's true. As at least this 10 years I was saying on behalf of my people to justice-loving people around the world that Taliban, warlords, all of these drug lords, terrorists are product of the White House and they are only the enemies of Afghan people, not their foreign master. And now under the name of National Peace Reconciliation, going to negotiate with Taliban and bring these terrorists of the Stone Age in power too. Even they opened an office for them in Qatar. I believe that peace can never come through the sworn enemies of peace. The way we witness the rule of these Northern Alliance warlords who are brother in creed of the Taliban. Such kind of so-called peace is more dangerous than the current war. Peace without justice and independence is meaningless, and our people first demand for justice. Justice for the blind suicide bombing of the U.S. occupation forces and barbaric jihadis and Taliban who killed their dear ones. Right now, the U.S. and NATO only want a peace for themselves and the expense of putting our people to more disasters through empowering of these terrorists, drug lords, and looters of Afghanistan. And now U.S. and NATO tell us that they will leave Afghanistan by mid of 2014. It's also another big lie. The people of the world need to know that U.S. and NATO countries are there because of their own strategic, regional, economic, and political interests. As right now, they are working to create at least 9 major military bases in my country to change it into its common base in Asia. Even if they are mobilizing the Afghan army and police, it is just to use them as cannon fodder to decrease the number of their own soldier casualties. And I think itself is enough to show the hypocrisy of the U.S. government. From one hand, they are talking about the withdrawal of their troops, but from another hand, they are talking about U.S. permanent military bases there. Just few thousands of troops they will withdraw to deceive the justice-loving people of the U.S. and around the world. As long as there is U.S. military presence in Afghanistan, we have no independence. In a country which has no independence, talking about democracy, women rights, human rights, justice is a ridiculous joke. I believe that the only solution for the catastrophic situation of Afghanistan is the withdrawal of all of these troops as soon as possible. Thank you. Because their presence is making our fight for justice much harder by empowering these reactionary, brutal, and dark-minded forces that are great obstacles for true democratic-minded elements. The show of the so-called election in Afghanistan is another joke with our people. What they portray as democratic election through a corrupt, fabricated, and fraudulent process. Without any doubt, the most disgusting selection ever seen in the human history. Election in an occupied mafia state has no legitimacy at all. I will never be tired to say from every audience to justice-loving people around the world on behalf of my people that no nation can donate liberation to another nation. Liberation should be achieved in a country by the people themselves. And our people can fight the medieval-minded Taliban and their jihadi brothers in creed if they are not supported and armed by foreign masters who shamelessly try to portray themselves as friends of Afghan. And the U.S. government has a long history of replacing democratic regimes with dictators. We have seen in the course of modern history that U.S. government interfered in internal issues of tens of nations to suppress mass movements and block democratic-minded forces from coming to power in the countries where the U.S. has its economic and strategic interests. Iran, Chile, Guatemala, Nicaragua, Bolivia, Laos, Vietnam, Indonesia, these are few of the many countries where U.S. interference brought bloodshed, suffering, and tragedies to their people. I'm afraid the same will happen again to the countries where people stand against dictators. If the leaders of this movement could not stop the dirty hands that are actively working to divert the people's right to a wrong and dangerous direction, Egypt is a good and new example. Right now, we are witnessing the disaster going on in the Syria, where the Western powers support and arm fundamentalist groups who are brother in creeds of Taliban and Al-Qaeda, to which that country was changed into ashes, and even darker days are expected for its people. The brave protesters in all third world countries must be aware of these facts and learn from history of these other nations. As we see, imperialism and fundamentalism have joined hands to lead the world toward barbarism. We should fight against it even if it happens in Iran, Syria, Libya, Palestine, or Iraq. Fortunately, day by day, we are witnessing the glorious uprising of the people against warmongers and economic crisis in different parts of the world, especially in the U.S., which shows the huge difference of American justice-loving people with their criminal government. I have always said that U.S. has two faces. One is that of a dirty imperialist government, but the other are its great people, like my friend Chomsky and many like of you that who are at least right now here, and countless other justice-loving American people, and great people like Snowden, Chelsea Manning, Matt Schrutz, Daniel Ellsberg, John Parker, Mike Prisner, Joe Clinton, and hundreds and thousands of other anti-war soldiers who are considered traitors by their government, but are the real heroes for the determining majority and live in the hearts of all oppressed people around the world. I send salutation to Edward Snowden and Manning, who are so brave to expose the real criminals in Pentagon and White House in the heart of the U.S., and played a big role in enlightening people around the world about true brutal face of U.S. imperialism. The more such brave people are pressed by the U.S. administration, the more they will find their place in the hearts and minds of suffering people all over the world. They are also my heroes and a source of inspiration. I would like to end my talk tonight with a quote of this two heroes. As Manning says, I don't want to be the part of the killing and crime machine of U.S. government. And Snowden says, I cannot in good conscience allow the U.S. government to destroy privacy, internet freedom, and basic liberties for people around the world with this massive surveillance machine they are secretly building. Heartfelt thanks once again for your solidarity and support.
Ms. Joya then showed slides that were very compelling and in some cases disturbing, but they do not translate well to a radio audience. After the slides, both speakers took questions from the audience.